Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm looking down.
Of Voices presents Liquid Damage Lounge with Linda and Carmine. Our group is filled with love and respect. We are also happy to see you here. We are poets from all over the globe and listeners from over 60 countries. Can you believe that? The hosting teams offer a variety of programs for your entertainment. There is something different going on nearly every night of the week. You never know what we have up our sleeves, like jokes, poetry games, slams, talk shows, magic tricks, contests, and special events with poetic topics from A to Z. You're invited to join us all for the fun. Just click and listen to the show or to hear the pre-recorded episode. And you can also call to participate at 1-646-668-2837. You can find our host and hostess writing over at allpoetry.com and hanging out in the Team of Voices radio group chat room. Our hosts and hostesses push love and respect. Stop in and check us out. We got Carmine here and Wayne. Hi, Wayne.
Well, how you doing tonight, Carmine?
I'm good. I saw your 270 and I said, that's got to be Wayne.
That's Wayne. Wayne's here.
Yeah, and Carmine's here. Hi, Carmine.
Oh yes, I hear that. I hear that Wayne, and his voice is so pleasant to hear.
Nice to hear you again, Carmine. Nice to hear your voice.
Right on.
Yeah.
Let's see. What do you call a group of disorganized cats? A catastrophe.
Okay.
A catastrophe. That's great.
Okay, what is the difference between a teacher and a train?
Don't know. And since I've been a teacher, I don't know.
Well, one says spit out your gum, while the other says choo, choo, choo.
Oh, my God. Hey, Linda, I have one for you, if it's okay.
Okay, yes, Carmine, absolutely.
Well, what's red and bad for your teeth? What is red and bad for your teeth?
Oh, I know this one, so I'll let Wayne have a try at it.
I don't have
an
idea. A brick. Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's right. It's not very good for your teeth. Very good. We had another one. Let's see. Where did it go? What do you call two monkeys who share an Amazon account?
Two monkeys sharing an Amazon account.
Yes.
Monkeying around.
Primates.
Primates, oh man.
Oh, okay.
What is the difference between love and marriage?
The difference between love and marriage.
Who has money?
I don't know, and I've been married a long time. It better go together.
The difference between love and marriage is love is blind and marriage is an eye-opener.
You got that right. Well, that's the best of her tonight.
You got any jokes, Wayne?
I am the worst joke teller in the world. I don't remember jokes, and I don't remember none of you told me tonight till next week, because I just don't never remember jokes. I'm kind of jokeless.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all right. We've got plenty of jokes here for tonight. Did you hear they arrested the devil?
They arrested the devil?
They got him on possession.
Oh, okay. They sure did. They did a good job doing
that. Yes, they did. All right, fellas. How about a poem? Let me see what we got here. Let me see. I'm going to have to run down the hall. And we'll see one that needs a reader.
I'll tell a joke.
Yeah?
What do you call a pony with a cough?
A pony with a cow?
With a cough.
Well, I don't know. What do you call a pony with a cow?
A little horse.
Okay.
What? Oh, yeah.
How about Jenny the Deep, who needs a reader? So I'll go ahead and read Jenny's. Let me pull it on up and run back over to the studio. Uh-oh. I lost my blog talk.
The mending fence, is that
joke?
The crossroads?
Does what?
Mending fence, is that the crossroads?
I don't know. I'm trying to find this. Where is my... Here we go. I'm almost back at the studio. Sorry about the silence, guys. I think it goes here. Where am I? No. Huh. Here we go. And we have Jenny the Deeps on the board. It's called Mending Fences. Has everybody got it?
Yes.
It's down a little bit. It's down a little bit. It's not right away. Let me put Jenny down here in the book. And
I got it.
Got it? Called Mending Fences at the Crossroads by Jenny the Deep. Took her first steps just the other day, grew up, and then she lost her way. Too proud to admit her own offense, she sits out refusing to make amends. Until she discovers reality, she's off enjoying a faulty fantasy. In life, may she find the righteous way before she gets further, more off track. Forgiveness is a key for her happy family. One day, hopefully, she'll finally see. She's obviously living in dreamland, being spoiled by enabling hands. We're unable to recognize her anymore. Conceited, she walked out our open door. Long days will become even longer weeks before she ever truthfully speaks. A caged bird has been set free, spreading her wings, but carelessly. Relearning how to fly solo, she frightfully falls. Crawling back, her cries echo through the halls. Forgiveness is key for any happy family. One day, hopefully, she'll finally see. She's oblivious, living in dreamland, her being spoiled by enabling hands. Meet me at the crossroads to mend fences before all is lost to the cold, dark trenches. That is, like, awesome. Jenny the Deep. Let me see here what I got. I'm just kind of unorganized today. Jenny, this is a phenomenal piece. You captured the metaphorical loss of a child in such a beautiful, sensitive way. And yes, like a song that cries out for forgiveness. I love verse 3 and 6. In the chorus, is the chorus, I believe. And let me see what just happened to my board. Huh. Well, here we go. Verse 3. Yes, forgiveness is key for any happy family. One day, hopefully, she'll finally see. She's oblivious, living in dreamland, being spoiled by enabling hands. When you lose your child that way, it is the most horrendous way to lose one, because there's nothing you can do. you say being spoiled by enabling hands, and that makes it so hard to fix. When there's a third party involved tugging back what you just managed to get straight. I managed the most notorious AA club in the world for 3.5 years, and what I saw and was a part of was shocking. The drugs and alcohol were like living entities that pulled at every try and would eat a youngster alive at any cost. And that's what this poem sounds like to me, is somebody lost to the drugs and alcohol and are trying to get back, but it's really hard, and it needs the problem is being spoiled by enabling hands, and we need to have helpful hands to get them back. So anyway, let me get another comment from Carmine. What did you think, Carmine?
Well, this is a heart-wrenching in as far as the lines were concerned, which are very moving. I mean, a child going astray is not only the loss of the loved one of the, but the pain is there for the entire family, and sometimes it doesn't happen at the crossroads because the choices they had made or whomever it happened to be was taken by those manipulating hands, and you have to live with your choices and sometimes die with them. And I've experienced many situations where at the crossroads, the youngster who thought that they were, you know, smart enough to be on his or her own were not that smart. And some of them were actually lost. They overdosed and they were gone. So this poem
yes.
is very moving and beautiful. Really, the reconciliation and the healing is needed, but sometimes it's just too late.
Right, right. And Wayne, what did you think, darling? Uh-oh. What happened to Wayne? It is Wayne.
Yeah,
that
muted.
Wasn't on my side.
Oh, I didn't.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, it's a wonderful poem, and we all have to learn to forgive. If we don't forgive, we can't be forgiven as well. Look at it. And in this poem, the mother's taking blame for spoiling her child. She's trying to take the blame for what her being kind of off kind of wild. But best thing for them to do is meet up at the crossroads and talk things over and maybe work it out. But children have their own way of looking at things. When they look at life, they look at their life a little bit different than we do. And as they grow older, their vision clears up and they can see better. So that's why I look at that, too. So it's a good poem, and she did a good job writing it, and she got a gold medal for it, which she deserves. Great job.
Yeah, very, very poignant piece. She's a fantastic writer, and she gets better every week. I really appreciate her writing. So let's see. Carmine, would you like to read Dave Muddy's piece called Goodbye for Now?
Okay.
Let me get on my page.
Okay. We gather to remember a loved one passed away, celebrating a life-lived memories we now survey. The pain we bear reminds us of the value of love shared. The weight of grief is heavy. Broken hearts cannot be spared. Each moment shared is precious. Hold each other with great care. Father's comforts may we know as the hardest day we share. Connection's beauty hidden in shadows that will not last. For our future together is much greater than our past. Know the refuge of Christ's love. With true hope, our hearts we guard. Farewell is not forever. Just a goodbye that is hard.
Wow. Good read, Carmine. Dave, you are like a maestro with your words. Your poetry is so beautiful and soft-spoken, and your rhymes are well formed. I feel a realness in your words. Your emotions cry out for your loss, and your love is uncontrollably real. I know the feeling of losing a grandmother, and that is terribly upsetting, and she is the monarch of the family. My favorite part is the last verse, and this made me cry. Farewell, that's not forever, just a goodbye. That is hard, says it all. You've written a beautiful eulogy that I'm sure would bring strength to your grandmother. When my grandma passed, it was the hardest thing I think of anybody passing. She spent a lot of her time with me, and it just that loss of not having that number one who can teach me and guide me was just really terrible. But Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I think it's a wonderful poem. He's honoring his grandmother. There's a lot of love in this poem. You can tell he's got his emotion about it. He has a lot of love for her. And as far as the poem, what he's written, it's well balanced and had a good rhyme in it. But it's kind of sad, but it's kind of uplifting too when you think about everybody has to pass. And if somebody feels that good about me when I die, it'd be my life would be worthwhile just to know somebody felt that good about me. So he's honoring his grandmother. Did a good job of it. Good poem.
Yeah, he did. And you read it, Carmine. Why don't you give us a comment?
Well, I'll tell you now, I know Dave did it. Just a beautiful job of paying homage to his loved one. And you can actually feel the emotions of the man's heart. And he's actually saying, dearest one, true love never dies, nor it ever fades, and we'll see each other again. And, of course, he's relying on a spiritual power that will do what the word says and promise that they will see each other again. And you can't get any better than that. He's very emotional, and I felt that many, many, many times. So it moved me, too, by reading this excellent poem of his.
Very good comment. And let's welcome in AP. Hi, AP.
Hi. How you going, Linda?
How are you?
Hello, the good news is that I am not in hospital, and I am recovering very well, yes.
Great. Glad to have you back. Did you get a chance to hear
the
poem?
Was that the one by Dave?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Look, it's always really difficult losing somebody with good damage, and I always struggle to write a poem at the time because, I don't know, I just get too up. And so for him to be able to get his thoughts together and put them down in a way that's just not meaningful for him, but meaningful for others. Fantastic effort. As I said, I couldn't do it, but I admire those who can.
Yeah, it's hard. It's very hard. Let's see. If we want to go into another maestro of words, let's pull out Quicken. You want to grab that, AP?
I will. Now, is there a SoundCloud for this one?
Yes, there's also a SoundCloud. Yes,
brilliant.
Is.
Okay. Oh, and he's on the board. He's listening. Quicken's listening, which is great.
Right on. Let me get back to the studio.
I've placed it up on the board for you.
Okay. Has everybody got Quicken?
Yes.
Okay. Let me come over here and I'm going to turn this a tad up. There we go. Okay.
Written
here we go.
By Quicken. I take these heavy steps, each one laden with the weight of a long goodbye. The air around me thickens with all the words we left unspoken in the tender ache of our parting. My tears, they do not merely fall. They trace the contours of every memory, every laugh, carving a map of my journey deep into the redness of my skin. These aren't mere droplets escaping the eyes. They're the pith of every cherished moment, now seemingly seeping through the cracks of the chapter that title turned. Moving through the grass, its dampness under my feet feels like more than just morning dew. It's as if it's saturated with the lifeblood of my dreams. Dreams that are now being gently laid to rest with the dawn of a new day, as I must face it without you. Each blade of grass stands as a silent witness to the depth of our attachment, now bearing the weight of new tears, guiding them on their path to join the streams. Streams, with their gentle murmurs, seem to carry away our stories, our shared laughter, and our whispers, dispersing them into the vastness of the ocean. Every tear that breaks free carries a piece of me heart, each one a farewell to a moment, a dream, a whispered conversation in the darkness. They touch the ground as softly as feathers, yet with the impact of comets, marking the earth with their irrevocability of our separation. The ground beneath me becomes hollow, echoing with the remnants of our laughter, the whispers of our dreams, and the finality of goodbye. The world around me seems to weep too, its tears blending with mine, carving paths through the land as memories have carved their mark on my heart. The mountains, resonating with echoes, scream into the forests, crafting a sonata of our shared history, a melody that gradually fades into the silence of a future yet unwritten. Saying goodbye this time feels different, like every word we never got to say is pressing down on me, transforming this farewell into a real journey through what we used to be. It's like a song for those parts of me that only really lit up with you around, but now they're just quiet, missing your laughter, leaving behind a trail of dew.
Wow. That is just so awesome. Quicken, you are also a maestro of words and just a wonder of poetry. This piece is unbelievably beautiful. If you didn't touch the hearts of all who have read it or listened to this, then there's something wrong with the world. This brought tears to my heart and left me weeping after I read this earlier. What a magnificent preponderance of poetry you have written. And my favorite part, well, that was very hard to pick out. But I think I went with, let me see, what did I go with? 1, 2, 3. I think I went with 3. Every tear that breaks free carries a piece of my heart, each one a farewell to a moment, a dream, a whispered conversation in the darkness. They touch the ground as softly as feathers, yet with the impact of comets, marking the earth with an irrevocability of separation. The ground beneath me becomes hollow, echoing with the remnants of our laughter, the whispers of our dreams, and the finality of goodbye. That is just such an awesome statement right there. I just feel the realness in this. And like I said, after I read this earlier, that left me weeping. The verse is just so real. The ground beneath me becomes hollow, echoing the remind me of laughter, the whispers of dreams, and the finality of goodbye. It's just so real. Thank you, my friend, for sharing this with us. You get just a great big A for the night. I loved it. I don't know about anybody else, but I loved it. AP, what did you think?
Well, I really liked the ending. Linda had a lovely feel and a sense to it. It was like this series of sort of word images that floated by like clouds. Then you got to that sort of last stanza saying goodbye, this time feels different. Like every word we never got to say is pressing down on me. And it's really interesting because that's exactly the way I described and recall my father's passing. There's something about that weight that you feel. There's something about the words that ring hollow, and it's a very touching piece, Linda.
Right. So true. Well said. Carmine.
Well, dear, I tell you, this Mr. Quicken quickened my heart in the ear of the heartfelt imagery that he had portrayed, the analogies between the two, the songs, and everything that the ground, everything that has to do with his inner feelings in behalf of the loss, a very painful loss of his loved one. And it's like he writes like a symphony of beautiful music. And the way it flows, it just draws you in. You actually feel the pain that he is doing, and the pictures of the words make it magnificent. So, he will quicken many hearts in behalf of his writing, and I allowed him for it.
Right on. Very well said. And Wayne.
Yeah, I heard this a couple of weeks, about a week and a half ago, and it stayed in my mind for about 2 or 3 days, just thinking about this one, because what I wrote to my family is a masterpiece. The recording was professional. Motions was great. His voice, the voice and the terminology were together so perfectly. It brought to a reality to it that you wouldn't have just anybody else reading it. And he had a great voice and a great reading, a great writing. I think it's a masterpiece. Great job.
Right on. Very good. Nice comments, guys. But how can you not come up with a nice comment when you're dealing with poetry like this? I mean, I'm just overwhelmed with some of the quality that we have on this show sometimes. It's just unbelievable. What do you think about that, AP?
Well, I think I think what we deliberately tried to do, Linda, is have a space where we, get poets to come along who feel comfortable sharing material with us that maybe they wouldn't share with others. And I think having all the shows that we do means that people have the opportunity to have their poetry listened to and to work on their craft. And that's what we're here for. We're here to work on our craft and get better.
Right. Very good. Okay, let's see. Carmine, you want to go up?
Whatever, my dear.
Okay, let me get your... Let me get you up here. Here we go.
This work is it's a memoir, and it's not to praise yours truly or anything. It's just something that stays with me, and I'd like to share it with the audience. The day of the dance band, foxtrots, rumbas, waltzes, swing. Spotlighted dancing, a Hollywood thing. sparkling lights nostalgia would wear, and the music they played filled the air. Vanilla, Goodman, Cooper, the Duke, Count Basie, Lombardo, the Dorseys, and more. Delighted the crowds to romance the dance floor. Well, I was part of that scene, an exciting craze, a scrapbook of tales to warm my heart even these days. One night, a famous hall must have had 1,000 chairs with a long, slick bar busy attending affairs. The dancers, rainbow-colored, sharp, outdressed the king. Their shoes, cotton soft, flexed to do their thing. Spanish Eyes, the leader called. Oh, that's a good song to play. For the hips to bend, body spins with a graceful sway. My heart, soul, steady beat, controlled the crowd that night, when 2,000 feet of poetic charm took flight. Each tom-tom had a tone, its own, pounding tick-tock time, anxious for 8 measures of spotlight that was mine. Oh, like a lover's embrace, the movements, the pace, the poetry in motion look, exotic in splendor, like a Disney fairy book. Ah, over too soon, that era is gone like a summer past, but that night for me, special, will ever last. Oh, new generations took the flame. The beat gyrates the floor. Their singers, concerts, bands galore are unique in rhythmic sound. Music, music will forever live wherever life is found.
Wow. Oh, Carmine, that was wonderful. Awake with charm and a remembrance of good old days gone by. All the different kinds of dances and styles of music is all so much fun. You guys must have had such good times back in the dance halls days, and your poems tell it all. I love how you took me on a journey, and we sailed from days gone by to the present when something better is found. But I don't think so. My favorite part is the last verse. Their songs, music, singers, bands, unique in sound, will live wherever there is life till something better is found. And it may never happen. You know, each generation thinks that their music is the best, but we all go back, you know, and listen to the oldies but goodies. And anyway, I loved your poem. It brought back memories. And what did you think, AP?
Well, we're sort of in a run of epic poems, aren't we? This one, again, was a big poem about a big subject, and that's about music and people's connection with it. And the wonderful thing about Carmine is he was there, you know, his name was on the drum kit, you know, he was part of it. And the thing I'd say about that era is that music was enjoyed not individually but with a couple. You know, dancing was about dancing with somebody else, and it was about, you know, building a bond with somebody else, whereas these days often music is enjoyed individually. And so things change, they always change, but there's something lovely about that era, and there's something lovely about actually hearing from somebody who was part of it.
Right. Wayne.
Yes. This is a wonderful poem of remembrance of his wonderful career that he had, that Carmine had. I don't want to tell anybody, but he was a drummer, and he was one of the best drummers around. He used to captivate audiences, having sit and listen to him for quite a while, and he was a good drummer in his day. And that's what he told me that in one of our meetings. Maybe I shouldn't spread it around too much. But it's a great poem you had, and I can feel being there myself the way you explained it. Great job, Rick Carmine, and a great career.
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful remembrance. Okay. Deb's here. Hi, Deb.
Hello, Linda.
Deb.
How are you, sweetheart?
I am well. How are you?
I'm good, waiting to hear your poem.
Ah. Cool.
Did you want to chat a little bit, or did you want to get right into it?
Well, you're in charge, but did you see the message about refreshing? I added Wayne for you. Just refresh your studio up at the top.
Yeah. Okay, she got it.
And that should, you should have a total of 5 SoundClouds at the top.
Yeah. Great.
Cool. Okay. All right.
Okay. Well, I know you're in a rush.
Yeah,
so I've got you on the board already. So if everybody wants to click on Deb's poem.
And this is a photo of my own that I use often. It's the 9th Street Beach in Seattle City, New Jersey. And this poem is called At the Shore. And here we go.
Purtiful.
In daylight, sun rays light the sky, shining down as seagulls fly. Conch shells crash on cashmere sand, and seabirds hunt for food on land. Surfers surf, sailors sail the boat, swimmers swim, and jet skis float. Fishermen fish as scuba divers dive, sunbathers tan, and children thrive. But at night, the sea is black. The surface hides a world below, neath saltwater tides that ebb and flow. As dolphins swim, crustaceans crawl through rolling waves that rise, then fall. Clouds block stars that dot the skies. Whale blowholes splash and shark fins rise. Then on the sky, the moon climbs high. It rocks the tides as waves roll by. And boom.
Oh, Deb, that was so pretty. I love your couplets. They're just so well formed. And you nailed the prompt perfectly. I mean, it's just so, like, there. And you rhymed it beautifully. And I love how you got everyone in there from the seagulls to the children thriving. Just right on in. My favorite part is verse 6 and 7, which 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The surface hides a world below, neath saltwater tides that ebb and flow. As dolphins swim, crustaceans crawl through rolling waves that rise and fall. I just love that part. It just brings me back to the ocean and the aroma, the smell of the salt water and the smell of the crustaceans that are dying on the sand and everything. But the ocean at night is awesomely beautiful as well, and you captured water life perfectly, Deb. The whole thing, to me, it just nailed the prompt, and the way you spoke about the water and who's doing what was just all in there. It was all cool. Let's see. Wayne.
Thank you, Linda.
Yes.
You're very welcome.
Well, no wonder you're such a wonderful poet. If I could walk outside and see a shoreline like that, oh, man, that's an amazing picture they have there. And you covered it perfectly in your poem. I'm kind of jealous. Can I move in? I'd like to just see it myself. I bet it's great at nighttime, too, like your poem says. This is just a great poem all around. You've got a great view to go out and look at. And Man, I'm amazed. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Right on. Carmine.
Well, I tell you, I've been a water boy, the oceans ever since I was knee high to the grasshopper, and she just took me right there, and I could smell the ocean breeze, I can feel it, the sand in my toes, I can hear the waves just rolling into the seashore, and all the things that she expressed. Was extremely beautifully written to bring you into that scene. So she's so picturesque in her writing, and I mean I absolutely love her because she took me there again, and in doing so I felt a warm feeling because most of my life was on the water. I've had all kinds of boats, and the ocean has been a friend to me, sometimes very cruel, but most of all, a beautiful place to be for tranquility, peace, and the love of God's creation.
Right on, Carmine. That's beautifully said. And AP.
Yeah, look, it's very pretty. Deb always uses words that give you a descriptive feel for something, and she does very carefully in the sense that she doesn't sort of go over the top descriptive. She sort of leaves gaps for you to put yourself in the picture, and it's a very clever skill to have as a writer. And we know that Deb is very skilled as a writer because for the team of voices, we're about to go and sponsor the Winter Park Paint Out competition, which is happening in about 2-3 weeks. And Deb is going to be one of the judges for that competition. So congratulations to Deb.
Oh,
and,
cool.
We can see.
Coolness.
Appreciate that.
I think that's everybody. And
awesome
next
conference.
We're going to have... Do you have time to hang out for a little while, Deb, or you got to go?
Do not. When you push shows, if you push mine later, I'd appreciate it. But it was nice to hear everybody, and I'm on the road again.
Right on. It was good for you to come, Deb.
My pleasure. See you later, everyone.
Later,
Deb. Bye.
Bye. Okay. Now, what did I just do? I just put Phil's on the board.
Yep. Good. So
trying to take it easy
SoundCloud
on the AP.
Yeah, doing well. We've got a SoundCloud there.
Yes, we do. Is everybody ready? Does everybody got Phil's?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is a poem.
I can see it in front of me.
On behalf of the preservation of the Silver Fox Society by Phil the Poet. What a strange creature is the Silver Fox, so called because of his silvery grey locks. He's rather suave, sophisticated and polite. A smooth talker, the ladies think he's such a delight. Wearing his tweed jacket and playing with his moustache. He boasts of his wealth, but never spends his cash. With his persuasive tone, he gets out of trouble with ease. With a devilish grin, he's an absolute tease. He drives an open-topped E-type Jag, cruises the countryside like a young stag. When he sees a beautiful lady come along, he transforms into Leslie Phillips with a ding-dong. Will you save this poor thing from extinction? To keep the silver fox alive is our mission. Roaming the English countryside and misbehaving, this rare breed is worth saving. Thank you very much. End of poem.
How cute. You have such a keen way, Phil, of building a fine story with plenty of class and identity. This one is a fine example of keen storytelling. And I love the way you use the Silver Fox as your antagonist and then blends him into more or less the protagonist towards the end. Well done. My favorite part is, I believe, verse 2, wearing his tweed jacket and playing with his mustache. He boasts of his wealth but never spends his cash. With his persuasive tone, he gets out of trouble with ease. With a devilish grin, he's an absolute tease. This makes him seem like a fun guy and very clever. Thank you, Phil. Please keep up the wonderful and delightful storytelling, and please come back again. And let's see. AP.
My father-in-law was a Silver Fox, right up to almost the point. Right up almost the point where he passed. He didn't have a Jaguar. He had a Bentley. He had a Rolls Royce. He actually got the Bentley put on a ship and sent it to Saudi Arabia so he could go on a Bentley tour with all these other Bentley owners.
Wow.
The problem being, of course, that the Bentley was fairly old and hadn't been brilliantly maintained. And so instead of being in a rich mega thing, he was stuck by the side of the road for 3 days because he used automatic transmission fails. And they had to send him one from Britain for the cost of £25,000 or something ridiculous like that.
Wow.
So he sort of did a whole heap of the tour, but he many less of a Silver Fox. And he had a lovely British accent. He did have a beard. He's always perfectly manicured, so I know exactly what Phil's saying. And it was beautifully, beautifully written.
Yes. Thank you very much for your lovely comment. Carmine.
Well, you know, he mentioned, should we keep that Silver Fox? Yeah, I'll tell you, he's a character that I think we should keep.
Are you a Silver Fox, Carmine?
The individual is is debonair. He thinks that he's God's gift to woman. And no matter how old he gets, he's a ladies' man. Well, a ladies' man's a ladies' man, but, you know, sometimes as you get older, you lose everything. And thinking that you have everything when you've lost everything is a little bit egotistical. But the gentleman has a flair all by himself, and to get rid of him, we're losing a very, you know, just special character in life. And I love the man, even though I love the Silver Fox. I've never been a Silver Fox. I've just been an old, you know, brown fox, but foxy in a way. So all praise to Phil. I love his way of expressing his imagination and his flow, the rhyme. He's very talented in all aspects of poetry.
Great, great job. And Wayne.
Well, I've always wanted to be a Silver Fox. Next time there's an opening, I'm applying for a job. You know, we can't let the Silver Fox become extinct. We got to have the Silver Fox to take care of all the cougars. This is a great poem with a lot of classy humor in it, and I lived all the way through. He put in another good, great job as he usually does. Good two poem.
Cool. I think that's it. Anybody got a joke?
Yes, I do have a joke. Let me say, what do you call a bee who can't make up its mind? What do you call a bee who can't make up its mind? Let's call
Bumble?
It a maybe.
I like.
Very cool. Okay, I did something wrong here. I thought we would do Wayne's next. Can you grab that, AP? And we got a SoundCloud for Wayne as well.
Yeah, this is a picture prompt poem. I hope y'all enjoy it. It's a little comedy thing I did, but for a picture prompt.
Okie doke. I'm just copying it now. What? Be there two ticks. It should be there now for everybody.
Okay, let me start it.
This is called... Whoa, yo, there's Joey. By Wayne Gent. Heard a noise coming from out back. Grabbed a bat in case it was an attack. Turned on light, nothing in sight. That was great. I didn't want to fight. Then I heard something, strange sound. As I scratched my butt, I looked down. I said, damn, what do we have here? Was jumping up and down without fear. Best I could tell, it was an alien boy. Told him to calm down. Called him Joey. Joey strutted in like he was going to kick my ass. I just smiled, backed up, and let him pass. I figured Joey had come a long ways. Joey was standing on the table in a daze. Asked if he was hungry, he wanted to eat. Joey just shot an electric bolt from his feet. I yelled, whoa, whoa, no electric bolts inside. Joey slowly bowed his head and complied. Joey's 2 foot tall, had 3 fingers on hand, 2 sharp teeth, webbed feet to walk on land. Took out lunch meat, started taking the wrapper off. Joey ate the wrapper and then started to cough. I thought he was choking. Gave him a beer. Thought, what the hell? He poured his ear. Joey looked up, jumped off table, ran to the door. He was in a hurry. I don't know what for. He hid to the grass, started jumping again. That's when I heard the noise as it began. A beam of light came down from up high. I knew he was leaving, didn't know why. As he lifted off, he shot me with electric ray. Well, it didn't hurt that much. That's the way Joey played. Yeah.
Wayne, your imagination has thus runneth over. So cute and funny, Wayne. I love the imagery, especially of Joey. I could just see him coming with his electric rays. Ouch, that hurts, Joey. Can almost feel it. My favorite part is verse 6. Took out lunch meat, started taking wrapper off. Joey ate wrapper, then he started to cough. Thought he was choking, gave him a beer. Thought, what the hell? He poured it in his ear. Very funny, very funny. Let's see. This is just so cute. The picture that you wrote to Joey is perfect. So funny. Great story, great rhyme, great everything. Wayne,
thank you,
Wayne. Made my day. You really
just a
did.
Little silly poem.
Beautiful, beautiful story. And
thank you very
let's
much,
see. Yeah. Oh, here's my page. Carmine.
It was a fun story, as you mentioned. And I tell you, it was really fun to read. And, of course, well, that old Joey is something. And he, when he comes back for beer, that's a good ending or whatever. It's a good beginning, and that's what makes it. So I gotta give him Gary credit because it just was a fun poem, and you see his imagination just exploding. And so anybody who reads it is going to say, okay, wow, fun. Thanks for the time that you made me laugh. Thanks for the time that you give me, something to really, enjoy. And what more can I say?
Right on.
It's a funny, fun poem.
Yes, you have a way of doing that, Wayne. And AP, what did you think?
Well, I'm so glad he does, Linda, that he does way of doing it, because, you know, we've had a lot of very serious problems tonight. We haven't had too much humour. And I'm sure we've got a few other humorous poems here tonight, but it's nice to have something sort of lighthearted that you can laugh to, and that's what Wayne does incredibly well, just sort of offhand humour.
Make people smile.
And they call it humour because it doesn't go and make fun of people. You know, there's lots of humour that is done against people. Wayne never does that. He just makes things funny because they're funny, and that there's a real skill in that.
Great.
Make the people smile.
Yeah. And you do that, Wayne. You always manage to bring smiles, which is a rare ability. And right now I'm looking for Titus.
That's what I live for.
How come I can't get Titus on here?
He's there. He's there. Let me have a quick look.
Yeah, I see him.
I saw him before. Just one tick. Let me have a quick look. Yep, I've got it. Just copying
you got
it now.
Great.
Yeah. I've got it now. If you want to go with the SoundCloud.
Yes, I will.
If I turn
them up just a tad, they come out much better.
Yeah, sometimes you get quiet. Yes.
Okay, everybody got Titus?
Yes, I have.
Okay, Wayne, you okay?
Yes,
I got it. Here we go.
The warmth of autumn love does bring. Love's folded frame will, by all accounts, remember our having read, engraved in my heart, such a time, such as this. Every year after that time in November, so crisp and even, then the square will always chime. Solemn sounds rust like how bronze it was before. We had scaled many years without our crystal ball. Your innocence has kept the ceramic smile I adore, polished like a china doll with its wraparound shawl. Fruits of the labor's marriage serves a golden fleece. The healing power quartz has now levered us both. Our being hooked, berries have become a showpiece, never to be forgotten where it was love had betrothed. Time of endurance, marriage to compare the tweed to autumn warmth, did russet sweet though simplify. A beveled edge of weather levered fade indeed had aged the cushioned charms ourselves to sigh. Having netted your oval eyes in the first place, saw for the very first time comparisons to eternal youth. Our love became like clade, a figure of eight to aid the everlasting promise I had made, the solid proof.
Wow. Another maestro of words. I'm telling you, we've got a hat trick tonight. Tony, you are just absolutely just the most incredible writer. And a king of creating such lovely imagery. I love how masterful you are with your words and how you create a serenade with them. I so enjoy listening to your read. I'm sorry, I lost my head. For words, you add a certain nuance to them, as well as being so eloquent. My favorite part was verse 2, solemn sounds rust like how bronze it was before. We had scaled many years without our crystal ball. Your innocence has kept the ceramic smile I adore, polished like a china doll with its wrap around shawl. I like the metaphor in that, and Tony, your work is a preponderance of love. I'm very happy for you and having and keeping a love so true. So thank you, Tony. Tony is just a perfect example of true love. And I admire that in a man, that he's kept his wife so beautifully long and dear. So, Tony, you are a magnificent man, and I'm sure your wife really appreciates you. Let's see. AP.
Yeah, look, it's interesting, Linda, because Tony always finds the words and chooses the words that he writes very carefully, but when it comes to his own relationship, he sort of steps into another gear. It's like he's got a special place that he holds his partner in, and the pieces that he writes about her are particularly beautiful, and this is another one of those pieces.
Yeah. Carmine.
Well, you see, Titus is a master, and he's an artist of words, whereby they're strengthened by the similes and the metaphors that explode in respect to the imagery, and that's what brings the excellence of his work. Because the colors, just like a rainbow, bring you in, and you feel his love. The love for the woman just never fades, never dies, but it's as beautiful as the expressions he writes. And as you mentioned, his wife would definitely appreciate what he has written, because you can never say to a woman more than "I love you, I love you." That's what they want to hear, that their life is just surrounded by that love. And Titus is the one who keeps on watering the flowers until he has a garden of love. And for him, that is most accomplished and most commendable.
Right on. Yeah. Titus is just an amazing, amazing person. Wayne.
Yes. Yes, the wonderful poem telling about his relationship with his wife and all the years they had together. Love is all the way through this poem, just total love all the way through. And he's all his poems he ever writes about his wife, he has the same emotion about her. And so, you know, it's true love. I can tell it's true love. He really cares a lot about his gal. He did a great job talking about her. I congratulate him on his 38 years of marriage. He's had a good marriage, and still in love like that, it must be something you can dream of. Great job he did on his poem.
Yeah. Okay, what do we got coming up next? Here. Hey. Have we got any more SoundClouds? Yes, we have another SoundCloud by Laurient Montanaire.
Laurient. Yep.
You got that, AP?
I've just put the link on the board.
Okay, let me...
And thanks, Wayne, for all your comments.
Hang on.
Okay.
For some reason, I can't find it.
Might need to refresh the studio.
Yeah.
You might just need to refresh it there. Yeah.
There we go. Thank you, AP.
There we go. No problems.
Here we go.
Thank you. A darkled shade, a mystery shrouds the clouds of horrific secrets. Over the old grounds of the soot and grime of the St. Mary's Church, where the piles of snow cover the cold grass of the parches beyond an English garth, and the whispers of evil whistle ruffling the cracking balls of trees. Deep echoes of a haunting noise reverberate suddenly into the daunting voice of a wraith of an abominable curse. And the blackbirds watch the fainting remnants of daylight fade into the dreaded gloom of the horizon of the blinding morrow. Eagerly, they flap their wings in their haste and departure, as the corbins from the cemetery arrive to usher in the night. The image of death and care glow with the glisten of the moon, when the hour of midnight strikes and the church bells ring. Through the curtains look on the wandering shadow that feeds on fear. The columns of the interior church awaken the crushing dust of legends. Listen for the sounds that shatter the walls that shook the earth. And listen to the ghastly breath of the red hue of blood and burning fire.
Oh my goodness. Was horrifying, Frank. Oh my goodness. You caught me right from the start. The imagery in this is haunting, and the dark and the metaphors ooze of a death stench. You, sir, are an incredible writer who never fails to bring it on. You make my goosebumps have goosebumps and my spine shivers every time I read your work. My favorite part is verse 3. Eagerly they flap their wings in their haste and departure as the corbins from the cemetery arrive to usher in the night. The image of death and terror glow with the glisten of the moon when the hour of midnight strikes and the church bells ring. Just haunting. I want to remind you, sir, that you are my sergeant of scary, my master of macabre, and my deputy of doom and despair. Thank you, Frank. It never, ever gets old. Let's see. AP.
I love it when Frank does his SoundClouds because he's a professionally trained voice actor. And
right.
So, you know, you want to know how to recite a poem, you go and listen to Frank, and he does a wonderful job, and the effects, the use of his voice, how he deliberately sets out to scare people and does, is just brilliantly done.
Right on. Right on. Carmine.
Well, you know, it reminds me, like, if I'm in a movie, you know, then the curtains opens and the organ player plays these ominous sounds, and it just echoes through the whole thing, and then it just runs through your bones, and then it gets you shivering, and then all of a sudden you see the camera just honing in to see this church, and then all the birds, and now it just turns, and it gets into the darkness, and oh, and then there's death. Oh, Lord of mercy! I'm telling you right now, if you just don't get up and go to the bathroom and say, "Woof, give me a break," I'll tell you right now, you did an excellent job, Lorraine, and as always brought out. You are a master at this, and just keep on doing it, because horror doesn't grow old. I don't know why, but it doesn't grow old. And you're so welcome, because you add to the color, you add to the mystery of what's all about as far as the genre is in your writing. You deserve a lot of credit.
Right. So, Wayne.
He's disappeared. Linda?
Oh, Wayne left? Aww.
Yes.
He didn't say goodbye. Oh, well.
He did on the
okay.
board. But there
Alrighty.
Might be somebody
well, it's a...
waiting for you. Thing. There might be somebody waiting for you on the board, though, I think.
Oh, let's see.
Do you want to have
who
a quick look?
That be? Let me see if I can find out who that is. Nope.
Oh, I think it's Garrett.
Hello, who's calling 903?
This is Little Gary Phillips Jr. from East Texas.
Little Gary, East Texas. How you doing,
yeah,
my
I know,
friend?
I know you didn't. Yes, I'm pretty good. I still the same number I've always had. I try to keep it that way. You won't get confused, you know. Other Garys around the world and shit. I know of several of them. I don't want nobody to pretend to be me, so I try to keep the same number. But how are y'all?
Right on. It's good to hear
from
you.
We're going well, Gary.
Absolutely, man. What a poem I just heard. It was so spooky. I'm at some friend's house in the country, and I kind of to give myself more privacy when I called in. I came out here in the dark on this picnic table, and I had to listen to that. Now I'm hearing stuff. So if something happens to me, man, this is going to be the footage. Keep the tape.
Yeah. He's.
Awesome storyteller, man, and the way he did it is spooky. I loved it. Awesome. I'm so glad I got to hear it.
Cool. And you brought a poem along, right?
Yes, ma'am. It kind of went with the one before the awesome terror one, which I love scary movies. And but, yeah, it went right along with it. Absolutely. It's kind of cool and ironic, too, that I'm out here. With my friends, because the girl that I wrote most of my heartbreaking poems for that broke up with me all the time is finally gone, been gone for a while, and I was going back through, and I remember writing this for her, and what I was going through then, it was 3 years ago, like, dang, she's been dumping me for years now. I guess she finally got it.
Yeah, thank God. Little Gary, just a quick one, yeah, before you start reading.
Anything you need, man, except money.
Fourth stanza, second last word, first line.
I won't say it. If it's bad, I won't say it, I promise.
Yeah, can you just skip that word? And then
yes, sir, I promise. I will, absolutely. I raised three great kids, and I can go to town and not. But, yes, sir, I promise.
Yep.
No worries at all. I already knew that, and I got you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, I don't even see it.
Yeah, I wouldn't put stuff like that, but my oldest daughter, when I started writing, she said, "Whatever you're feeling, Daddy." Put it, because you're a good guy, and so I put
yeah,
that, and
yeah,
I don't mean no disrespect, but I promise I won't mess
not
you
at all
up or nothing.
No, it's just that's just the writing we've got on the show, little Gary. That's all.
I think cuss words were cheaper when I was growing up, because we didn't have no money, but we had plenty of them. My mama had a lot of that. So I don't know. So, okay, but yes, sir, I got you absolutely. This is called "How Not to Care" by Little Gary. I just don't really care about things, how the sun and the wind look in her long, beautiful hair. or how we did things that others just wouldn't dare, and how the love that we had was so freaking rare. I'm not going to be thinking about what she's doing tonight or the hateful words that was said in our very last fight. I'm not going to sit here wondering which one of us was right or how dark my life is now, because she was my light. So I'll never let her run through my head. I won't think about how much fun we had while we were making our bed. I'll never write down the last words that she ever said, because it kills me to think about hearing that our love was dead. Hell, I can't even remember her beautiful sounds, or that her eyes were the most beautiful brown, and definitely not how excited I was that every time she came around. And I'll never wear that T-shirt that she bought me again that says Poetry King with the Crown. I'll definitely be happy every time that I think about her being gone. When I turn on the radio, I won't even remember that every damn song was our favorite song, or how I know I was right, but I didn't know that she was wrong. And I definitely won't be wondering every night if she's sleeping alone. How could I if I'm too busy thinking about how she never trusted me? How she freaking always cussed at me? How she let me watch her sail away on the deep blue sea? And how we never seemed to be able to agree? How could I think about the good times if my head is full of so many bad times? Like how she stopped loving me when I started writing these rhymes, or how her insecurity had me all wrapped up in vines, and how she blew my heart away with words just like landmines. Instead of me wishing that she was here, I'll be glad that she's there. Could I ever miss someone that was so damn unfair? She hated everything I did, and it took all of my air. So I guess what I'm saying, y'all, is that she's gone, and I really do care. End point.
Wow. Wow. That is so from the heart. My goodness. Made me choke up. Little Gary, you are an amazing writer, and you have just this way of putting your true feelings down on the paper. And that's an incredible talent you have. But this poem is just so real. And I don't know what to say. It kind of got me. I don't even know what my favorite part is. How could, if I'm too busy thinking about how she never trusted me, how she freaking always cursed at me, how she let me watch her sail away on the damn deep blue sea, and how we never seemed to agree. That's just sad. When a relationship comes to that point, it is time to say, you know, bye-bye. It's time to sail away and look for someone new, because there's no point in living a life that is miserable. And when there's so many people out there that are willing to love you, and you're a good guy, you know, you're good looking, and you shouldn't have any problems finding somebody new. So take my advice. Just keep on there and just look out for the right person, and you'll find them.
Hey, can I tell you something good that happened in my life? Last Saturday,
sure.
First person in my family. I'm the first person in my family. I am an actual published author. Urban Publishing published me to a 3-book deal. The first book came out last Saturday, and I won't know for a month if I sell any, but it's like everywhere. It's called Little Gary's World, even in hard copy. I'm so excited.
Wow.
But,
right on.
Yeah, man, these people love them too, and they said that my simplicity way that I write heartfelt stuff is going to be something new, and I'm hoping, you know. I told him, well, let me know, because I'll try something else if this doesn't work. If I need to go buy a shovel, start digging towards the bank, I will, because I don't know how long I'm going to be alive, so y'all need to get this book out. It took forever. I didn't like their corrections. I wasn't trying to complain, but I didn't like the way they were going. It was taken away from my southern stuff. But anyway, when it came out, it's good. Great. Check it out. I love it. Please pray for me.
Wow. I am so proud of you. That is just fantastic. And I knew it. I mean, I've always said that you write from your heart, and that's a strong place in your soul, you know? So good for you. How exciting.
Yes,
AP,
ma'am.
What did you think?
Well, fantastic. You've got the book deal out there. Little Garrick is, you know, the best thing you can have is, you know, that set of words and have those words that, you know, be forever out there, you know, is yours and in people's hands. So great to have, you know, three books out there and have the first published. But, look, and I can see why, because you take themes that are universal, you know, in this case, love and unrequited love, and you put them into words, and you put them into words that we can all understand, and you put them into words that we can all feel, and that's good poetry.
Hey, that's exactly what the publisher dude told me in their review board, because they had to get by them before they would put it out if they didn't think it would sell. But anyway, yeah, that's exactly what they said. You said, man, awesome. Thank you so much. You're awesome. I wish I could talk like you. I say that every time, I know, but I'm never going to stop.
Right on.
Yeah.
Carmine.
Well, I'll tell you, he wrote a very, very realistic piece there. You know, in one aspect, he said, I don't care. Well, look at this. Look at that. Look what he did to me. But, you know, in the end, he really does care. I mean, a divorce or parting is like a death, and it's just painful. And so he expresses his hope to find someone new, to the point where he says, well, for the first time, it's the last thing on my mind. But it's got to be that person who returns to love. And when he finds that, then he'll be happy. But in the meantime, you know, the pain lasts, and he expressed it so really realistically in his work, and he deserves a lot of commendation.
Yeah.
As well as your comment, too. The greatest comment I've ever heard in my life. Thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome.
Great.
Linda, are you there? Linda?
Yes, I am. Just one second.
Sorry.
I'll get you in a second, Jay. And Wayne.
Wayne's gone.
Oh, that's right, Wayne. Let's welcome Jay to the show. Hi, Jay.
Hi,
Carmine's here, little Gary, AP, and me.
Hey,
and
guys, I'll
Jay
buy that book. What's the name of it?
Yeah, what's the name of your book, Little Gary?
Of course, it's called Little Gary's World. It's the best
little
thing
Gary's
I can
World.
Of. I could do Little Gary's at County Seat, or you know, Little Gary's shoes or something, but I thought Little Gary's World, why not?
Yeah.
Yep.
Sounds good.
And where is it for sale?
It's down here on this back road. It's 1318. When you get to that old pine tree, you're going to want to take a left. Don't go right. No. I've seen it.
No.
It's on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. And,
it's on Amazon.
Hopefully they got some people bootlegging them. I think that would be great.
You are the funniest.
I'll be big time. I'd be a pirate.
Jay's another funny lady. You'll like her poetry as well. I read about 20 of your poems today, Jay, trying to pick out the one I wanted you to read. And my eyes were getting glary. And so I found this one. I plugged it in for you. I hope you don't mind.
No, not at all. Which one is it so I can read it? Because I don't memorize them.
Which one did I punch in? Let me go check my... The Mirror Did It, I think it is.
The Mirror Did It?
The Mirror Did It. The mirror did it. Grandma's fairy tale.
Yeah, the mirror did it. Grandma's
fairy
tale.
I'll put it up on the
tale.
Board.
Okay.
Put it up for you on the board.
Oh, you're
yeah.
up.
Yep.
Very nice. You
did.
Ready to read, Jay?
Well, if I can call it up, I will. The mirror did it.
You can call it up from the top. Yep.
Hang on.
Okay.
The mirror did it. Grandma's fairy tale. Got it.
Perfect.
Here's a story I recall about a mirror tell-it-all who never should have stood and told a wicked witch that she was old and someone's prettier than you. I think her name was Rinso Blue. So our witch gave Little Blue a poisoned iMac Apple II. One keystroke put Blue fast asleep with seven midgets for her keep. It rained for 40 days and nights, then came a prince in spandex tights. A pucker later, Blue awakened, sued the witch for reparations. She won her wrongful sleep lawsuit, plus a check for lots of loot. The couple wed, as I recall, rode a pumpkin to the ball. Her stepsisters now clean and cook for the dwarfs that Blue forsook. The mirror works at Chuck E. Cheese. The witches writes software for PCs. 'Twas a wand saved Lady Fair, my fairy Maud Guther declares, with gowns to make a drab girl fab and duct tape when their mirrors blab.
I love that.
I'm glad you like it. Good.
You had so many funny ones. I couldn't pick one out. I was going crazy. But
aww.
I like that last line in this one, the duct tape when their mirrors blab.
Yep.
Very well done, Jay.
Comes in all sizes, too, junior and senior.
All I got to say is you are a hoot. I could read your stuff all day and almost did. Ha ha. This was so funny and well written. I just loved it. The best part to me was verse 5, her stepsisters clean and cook for the dwarfs that Blue forsook. The mirror works at Chuck E. Cheese. The witch writes software for PCs. So hip. I love that you put the mirror at Chuck E. Cheese. That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you, Jay. I love this poem, and please come back again.
I sure will. Sorry I was late.
Oh, no problem. No problem. AP, what did you think?
It was sort of old-fashioned sort of tongue-in-cheek sort of snarky. It was real fun. It was a real sort of way about how it was read that really led to a great listening experience. It was very, very well written. But I just loved hearing you actually recite it.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Neat. It's kind of a sarcastic poem.
It is, yeah. Hard tone to get up, though.
Okay, Carmine, what did you think, darling?
Well, it's a fun poem, and you could tell Jay has a fantastic imagination to utilize the fairy tales and tales of old that are so, you know, prominent in the children's minds and even older folks, and how he entwines those fairy tales into something that, you know, now. But as far as I was concerned, I was impressed with his imagination, the flow of the lines, and the way he expressed it. So As all of our writers, they have a certain specific individual flair that makes them what they are. And no two are alike. And that's what makes poetry poetry. That's what makes your program what it is. It's beautiful.
It makes it so
fun.
You've got
to give them a lot of credit for that. You've got to give them a lot of credit.
Right on.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, dear sir.
Dear lady.
And little
lady,
little Gary,
boy.
What did you think?
Is he still with us?
Little Gary. Did you go bye-bye, Little Gary?
He might have.
Oh, Little Gary dropped, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you, guys. I sure appreciate that.
Stuff?
Pleasure.
Yeah. Anytime, Jay. Did we read you yet, AP?
Not yet. But I've got
yeah,
a simple one compared to everybody else. Yeah, I'll put it on the board. I've got a very simple one compared to everybody else, Linda, but it here it is. This is on butterfly wings. Goes a bit like this.
Okay, hang on one second. Let me catch over
there. Have
you got
it there?
I got to get caught up.
Okay.
She's running as fast as she can.
No, so cool.
Just a little behind tonight.
I wish I had one.
You got it in front of you, Linda?
I got it in front of me, AP.
Okay, this is on butterfly wings. Goes a bit like this. In the world, there lies a symmetry. Each tree breathes life while leaves fall to return. As root in proximity, energy taken as branches grieve. And this connection of each to all can be seen in the worth ascribed to the seas and the beaches pool, each way the closure so contrived. Within the clouds that sit on high, their differences and tones inscribe. A blue curtain of the darkest sky hides the background of the jive. Each occasion, put aside the springs, within these lands plenty perceive. The soft beat of butterfly wings, interactions, our choices in weave. End point.
Well, you know, first of all, AP, lovely painting. It has depth and symmetry and is a great, it's a great, quite defining. And second, your poem is really lovely. I liked how in the first verse you used the breath of the tree and the fall of the leaves to return to the roots that would in turn energize the branches and that are the roots and then the branches grieve. That's a whole cycle of life there. And that is so sensitive, AP. And the imagery is responsive and delicate. My favorite part is the last part. Each occasion put aside the things within these lands plenty perceived, the soft beat of butterfly wings, interactions, our choices in weaves. Just so, so beautiful. I thank you so much, AP, and I'm glad you're feeling better, and I'm glad you're back.
Thank you.
Really. And let's see, Carmine.
Well, I tell you right now, this is on Beautiful Wings. It's a beautiful poem, and especially his expressiveness as far as the words are concerned. Even the rhyme is really very well done. The flow is like music. And I'm telling you, he's got some expressions here that are very, very unique. They're very intricate, and the way he weaves the words into the, into what he's saying as far as the meaning of the poem is beautiful. And so he uses the butterfly as an example of certain aspects. And then when he talks about the last line, when he says the soft beat of butterfly wings, interactions, our choices, in weave of the things that they perceive, which sometimes hurts. But in any event, it's very powerful, very thoughtful, very meditative. So again, comments, high praise, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm quite sure everyone else feels the same way. So
thank you, Kama.
Right on. And Jay, what did you think?
Well, first of all, we're glad to have you back.
Thank you.
I love the way this talks about. It's a tapestry. It reads like a musical sound tapestry. Brilliant colors, different textures, carrying you from mood to mood. It talks about renewal in a very delicate way, the leaves falling to regenerate the tree. And that last line is a poem in itself, if you were just to read that, because the meaning is all condensed there that you have been talking about throughout the poem. And it's a lovely closure, but it still leaves you an opening because it's talking about the future, and it's talking about renewal and becoming, and that always stays with us because we keep becoming all our lives. So it's an important message that we hear, and I'm so glad you shared it with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
words.
That was very pretty, AP. Okay, I think that's it. And I put mine up next.
I can see that.
Can everybody see? It's called The Words That Write the Story, Part 2. Got it, Carmine?
Yes, I do, my dear.
Okay, Jay, you got it?
No, I'm still trying to find voices. The web page.
Oh.
I'll get it. I'll find it. Go ahead without me. Don't hold up for me.
Okay, The Words That Write the Story, Part 2. For our love, for our fear, for our rise against the years, for our pain, for our glory, for the words that write the story. Now the years have grown cold, and the days have turned to rust. He watched the world around him all turn into dust. His pain is etched in the lines of his face. He sits in quiet solitude. Before he walked with dauntless grace, but now he is radically subdued. The eagle perched like shadows in the blindness of his gaze, and watches for reflection in the mists of purple haze. Old grandfather, barely dead, hanging on by just a thread, can't remember pathways taken, which were followed, which were led. But today he tries in vain, and he stares at time in sorrow for what has come to be his mind and haunts him through tomorrow. The tempo of his lonely age has melted retrospection. He sees with fingers mummified and feels with absolution. For our love, for our fears, for our rise against the years, for our strength, for our glory, for the words that write this story. The winds blew saffron-colored grass across the plains estate, till battle came and turned them red by soldiers filled with hate. Now his family is no more, wiped out by the surge, and on their way to evermore, there will be no dirge. And all the things he cherished, the buffalo and land, were destroyed to left to perish by the hands of the white man. His pride is his shelter now, and the eagles eat his fear, the only show of heartache on his cheek, a single tear. The colors of life have been painted on the rain. His voice dales tempered on the wind. And he sits in an aura of colors once divine, but a life that is grossly undefined. For our love, for our fear, for our rise against the years, for our strength, for our glory, for the words that write this story in poem.
Wow.
Okay, Jay, you want to go?
You want to start first? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have the poem up. I'm sorry. I can't find it right
okay.
now. But I really like the part that says his voice sits tepid because we get that way. And when you're talking about...
Yeah,
we do. We grow silent as we grow older. And I think we need to hear more poems like yours that tell us you don't have to be silent. And we know it's inside you. We know you have it. We can feel it. It's like an aura around people. And I've seen it in people.
Right.
You know, you walk up to them and you know they have something they want to say. You know they have strong things they feel, but they don't say them anymore. And this poem is so important to tell people that. They really need to hear it, and I just love it. I think it's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jay. AP.
And Carmine. I was going to do Carmine, and I'll go last.
Okay.
Carmine, okay. Did you say a few words? Hello, Carmine.
Carmine?
Are you on mute?
Is this, you want, Linda, this poem I think is one of your masterpieces. It's so poignant, it's so penetrating in respect to a race of people that were wiped out because of greed and, you know, not caring what the consequences are. You can see, you can feel the intensity of their pain. You can see and feel how everything that they dreamed for were wiped away by people of hate. You can see and you can feel that the eagle doesn't fly anymore, and that in respect to the repetition of that last part there, which is so penetrating, it says, for our love, for our fear, for our rise against the years, for our strength, for our glory, for the words that write the story, that those people are silent, but they're strong. And you know, beloved, I want to tell you something. My family knew the Indians and what they went, and also the tale of three tears that they told us so poignantly. So here, I mean, when I read this, I also feel what I was told by people who lived it. And you captured it with magnificent words and expression. I really say this again. I think this is one of your masterpieces. And congratulations, for it's beautiful.
That last verse and the verse before that, in the beginning, is a quote from Bush, the band. For our love, for our fear, for our rise against the years, for our strength, for our glory, for the words that write the story. That's actually a quote from a band called Bush.
You speak for so many, Linda.
Whatever, it's still beautiful, my dear. And you've done an excellent job on this. Very moving, very touching, very meditative, and part of history, which is not the bright side, it's an ugly side. It's the dark side, but
right.
That's life for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't a pretty time.
No.
A lot of really
and
good
look,
people came out of it.
It's interesting,
yeah.
Linda, because some of the artwork, for example, we were talking about tapestries before, and some of the Indian, North American tribes had the most amazing books and tapestries that they made, at the most intricate and fine detail. And they're incredibly prized today because there's so few of them. But the juxtaposition of the song with this group is really interesting because Bush is a heavy metal band. I know Bush.
Yeah.
You know, they're beating it out with a bass lyric talking about different things. You can bet your bottom dollar they weren't talking about this issue, but you worked it into this riot, and it works incredibly well. So I agree with Carmine. I think this is one of your sort of signature rites, Linda. It's something
wow.
You care about clearly, and I think you capture something in this rite.
It speaks of you
well,
and well.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Okay, guys. Well, let's move on. We have, I guess, we have one from Lawrence who needs to have a reader.
Yes.
AP, do you want to
yes.
read that with me? Since
I'm
we know the dealio
too.
With...
Yes. And you're, who are you going to be? Do you want me? Do you want to lead, or do you want me to be the second character, or vice versa?
You lead.
Okay.
Let me see.
Done.
So Florence.
I'm going to be Nigel, and holy shit. Okay, there's characters in this left, right, center.
Nice.
I might just read it, I think, because there's about 6 or 7 characters, Linda.
Okay.
So, okay, give me a go. We'll see how I go. This is Pee-wee League Championships by Lawrence 67, and this is the ongoing adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie. Nigel, you ready, Alfie? Alfie and nothing but a thing. Nigel? Nigel? Princess, ready? Princess, let's do this. Would you go to the Chickasaw Junior? How's it going, son? How are you feeling? Jubo, I feel like jumping into a puddle of mud. Coach? Nigel, that Jubo was sure strange, Ralph. Ralph, the Chihuahua dog, you good? Ralph? Guys, let's go. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 5th Annual Pee-wee League Championships. I'm your announcer for today's activities, where we'll be having the championship game between the Lawrence 67 Pee-wee League All-Stars, who will be going up against the Weepy on Pee-wees, their arch-nemesis. The teams are all tied, and we catch them in the extra innings. The 67's on the fence, and Jubo, the race pitcher, are on the mound. A batter, scoring, the line drive. Hits Jubo right in the leg, taking him completely off the hip. It's a timeout in the field as they take Jubo up. You all right, Jubo? Can you go on with one leg? Yeah, I'm all right, boss. Give me the ball. Hey, batter. Another line drive right up the middle. Hitting Jubo on the other leg. Severing it completely off the hip. Timeout while they tape him up. Jubo, you okay? Jubo's just a flesh wound. I'll be all right. Give me the ball. Hey, batter. Another line drive. It knocks Jubo's right arm completely off the joint. Time out as they tape Jubo up. Are you okay? You want to come out? No, I'm all right, coach. Still got one good arm. Okay, my boy. You're up to bat now. We're down one run. Bases loaded. Take a walk. Take a walk? I'm going to hit a home run and win the game. But you don't have any limbs. I don't need any stinking limbs to give me the bat. Hey, batter, bat. Shring. Jubo gets a bunt. Run! Run! But I don't have any limbs. The throw is the first. Umpire. You're out. Well, that'll do. Does the L67s lose another game? Weepy. Nice try, Jubo. Jubo, yeah, but I don't have any limbs. Ben Palm.
Lawrence, you're on top of your game today, son. This was hilarious. Remind me of Monty Python's Holy Grail. It's just a flesh wound. Yes, yes. And that's saying a lot. I love your wit and humor, and I think this poem is awesome. Thank you, Lawrence. My favorite part is when another line drive right up the middle, hitting Jubo in the other leg, severing it completely off the hip. Time out as we tape him up. So funny. This was hilarious. One of your best ones, Lawrence. I really liked it. Jay.
What a visual.
What did you think?
It was like a play.
Right.
I was cracking up. It was fantastic. I was sorry that I missed a couple of words because I was laughing. It was so good. That is amazing. And it flowed just beautifully, and it was just the right amount of speaking for everybody so that you didn't lose your audience, you know? And I think it was great. Very well put together.
Very
Not to mention
good.
Funny.
AP.
Did I mention funny?
AP, you read it. What did you think?
Look, I actually like reading Lawrence because he's quirky and he's funny and he's got a great humor. It's sometimes quite subtle, but great humor. And not many people can make people laugh as much as Lawrence. He does a fantastic job, and he was in fine form. You're dead right.
Right, right.
I'll take that
Carmine.
As a challenge.
There you go, Jay. Carmine.
Well, that is a fun poem. I mean, it's amazing how everything had happen to that player, and all, I mean, his arm, his leg, but he was so persistent, you know, he wouldn't give up. He's not going to give up for nobody. And so it shows a strong determination that, well, whatever happens in life, I'm still going to hang in there and I'm going to do it. And so it has a subtle message as far as life is concerned, because every time you turn around, something's thrown at us and someone is putting us in the corner, or somebody just tearing us apart. But the persistence, the courage, the determination is there. Life is stronger than death. And so that poem had a lot to say, even though it was a fun thing. As far as I'm concerned, you know, if it was from 1 to 10, I'd give him a 10 plus.
Great. Right on.
That guy would end up being first base if he couldn't do anything else.
Yeah.
Right on. Lawrence is well-deserved.
Oh, he's
great. Let's see. Okay, we have one from Ethan Smith.
Yeah, I've put Ethan Smith on the board already, Liquid Damage. So we've got Ethan Smith, then I think we've got Hatter to finish.
Oh, Hatter's got one up? I didn't even, where is he?
Yeah, he's one in late. So I'm happy to do both of them if you want, Linda.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm happy to do both of them. So this is Love Songs by Ethan Smith. And it goes a little bit like this. I reckon I've done love all wrong. I thought it was more like one of them love songs. But I was recently informed by one who's loved more to be wary and be warned. See, love's got some rules, and you better study up, because good old lovin's for fools. You see, it ain't what you do. It's about what they can do for you. And it's all what they say, not what they prove. Sure, they might be perfect for you, but there's always a couple more to try too. You've got to keep that fiery lust, but skip on the mutual trust. I'm not sure I like these rules, and I guess that makes me a fool, but I'm not supposed to love free and deep like the songs. Then I just want to love all wrong. And pop.
Wow. Oh. Ethan, you are the only person I know that can write with a twang in your words. Very cool. Except little Gary.
Yes.
But when I wrote this, I hadn't heard little Gary in a while. I loved your storyline. It was very warm and charismatic, and your heart and soul rang through in your words. My favorite part is verse 4. I'm not sure I like these rules. I guess that makes me a fool, but I'm not supposed to love free and deep like the songs. Then I just want love all wrong. Right on. I loved it. I love how you stand up at the end and pronounce your authority to love. Great job. And please come back again, Ethan. Your poetry is beautiful. Carmine.
Well, his poem over here as far as love songs, and I've written a good number of them, but I love the last verse when he says, I'm not sure I like these rules. And I guess that makes me a fool. But if I'm not supposed to love free and deep like the songs, then I just want to love all wrong. That's it's powerful when he says that. But it's part of the writer in respect to correlation of love songs. And sometimes love songs don't work, but sometimes love songs about love and then also the parting and everything else. But that last verse to me was, very powerful. And he deserves a lot of credit for that.
Right on. AP. You read it.
It was a really interesting poem. It really well rhymed, really well rounded, and I agree with Carmine. I think the last stanza was really interesting and thought provoking.
Right on. Right on. And Jay?
I too, agree. I like the ending because it shows that he's taken charge of it. And everything we do has rules, but they're guidelines. And they are meant to be broken, and no one ever became famous by following the rules. And things work better with
right,
them
that's
own.
True.
You've got to be invested
so
in things to do it your own way. And I think that poem is important when it says that. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly. Good writing. Man, we've had some good stuff on. Let me take this time before we do Hatters to thank everybody deeply from my heart. Titus, Phil, Wayne, Laurent, Quicken, Little Gary, Lawrence 67, Dave Muddy, Jenny the Deep, Ethan Smith, Hatter, AP, Carmine, Wayne, Deb, Jay, Jenny the Deep, Dave Muddy, Quicken, Phil, I already said that, Phil, Titus, and Frank, and Lawrence, Ethan, and Hatter. And thank you, everybody, because if it weren't for you, I wouldn't have a show. So I thank you all for attending and always contributing your best. So now we have Hatter.
We do.
We do have
a
Hatter.
And so I should say a few words, too, about what's coming up before we do the last poem, Linda. We've got the Open Poetry Show with Deb, myself, and Hatter, and that is on for an hour, same bat time, same bat channel. Then we have Deb's continuing colour series, so go to her wall to get your poem, to get your inspiration for your poem, and the topic is purple. So that's the next couple of days on A Team of Voices. Now, I think I've done that. I am now going to go and read Hatter's poem, which came in while the show was on. This is called Show Me Funny, and it goes a little bit like this. There once was a funny that hid from sight, whispering giggles throughout the night, gathered laughs it saved in its pocket, punching lines it knows that it's got it, circling back to play again, smiling hard among its friends, belly laughter it grows apart, blaming the dog, then it aims its fart, scripting by numbers outside the lines, keeping safe cover, spending the time to be there standing when it hits the fan, reaching the memories from inside the can. Holy rollers, how can it be true? Pictures it says looks like you. So funny down the road it smiles. Show me funny and let's laugh for a while. Take the time to show. Silly Von Carney in so many words. In poem.
Very good. Hatter, this was very cute. I love your picture. And it looks like you drew that yourself. Very nice. I'm impressed.
Yes, that's a hat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I see that. Very wonderful. And your poem was very sweet. I liked it a lot. And it just, I don't know, it was very humbling and but cute and funny as well. So let me get you some more comments. Carmine.
Well, he's got some very deep points here when he says, down the road of smiles, he says, show me funny and let's laugh a while. Well, the whole world is crying. That's what it's doing. It's moaning. And this poem is saying, well, even though that's around us, even though it surrounds us, there's time for laughter. And let's take that time now that shows life has a bright side. And as far as the poem is concerned, it's really, especially the last part, is very meditative. And when you look at it, you can see the depthness of what he's trying to say in behalf of smiling, in behalf of laughing, in behalf of taking things for what they are. Because children are like that. You go any place, the whole world's around them. What are they doing? They're laughing and playing games. That's what they're doing. And so it's, that's what he's saying. And it's beautiful. Well, it's time to show it. And that's what we will do. Bless your heart for it.
Right
on. There, sir.
Very good. Very good. And Jay?
I think he's giving us advice like sitting on the porch with your dad, telling you you need to take it easy and laugh things off and don't let them get to you, son. And he's optimistic. It's just such a rocking chair piece that I really like it. And it's very comforting. And it's very encouraging. And God knows the world could use a little bit of that nowadays. Don't take life so seriously. You're not going to get out of it alive. That kind of thing. And kids need to hear that. They need to know. It keeps their heads above water.
Yeah. Right.
Lovely. I really like it. Nice message. Thanks.
Very good. Yeah, Hatter's a good poet. He's always got a really cool message.
Yep.
And it's CAP.
Yeah, look, Hatter's at his best when he wants to get a message through. And you could tell he wanted to get a message through here from his drawing at the top with the eyes and the eyebrows that were sort of growing. There was a purpose in this poem. It's exactly what Joe was saying, and he'd be rapt that he got that message across.
Yeah. Very cool.
Even in his comments, he's wise, because he said his best poetry is when he has a message to get across. And isn't that true of all poets?
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, it's like, yeah, like Linda's tonight. She had a message to get across, and she had a picture to write to, and she, so she, bang, away she went.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Very cool. Well, let's see something. I already said that one. And where's my other ones?
You got to do an ending job.
I was addicted to the hokey pokey. Then I turned myself around. And yes, I have another show next Friday night at the same time. You all are invited. You both are invited. I hope you'll make it.
We're
two of my favorite people on all poetry. So Jay was one of my first admirations, I guess I would say. I started reading her poetry, and I was just blown away. So I've been following her ever since. And AP's been my buddy for a while now, and follow his poetry and his paintings. And, yeah, got my buddies. So now, do you have something you need to announce again, AP?
No. I was just going to be purely selfish and say that I've changed my picture image today, Linda, to the image that I actually did yesterday. So I was so excited about the image I did yesterday, I had to change it. So, so it's gone from a green bird to a sort of underwater bird now.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right, my loves, this is the end of another episode of the Liquid Damage Lounge. So I will say ta-ta.